Kia ora, I'm Andrew Whiteside, and today my guest is comedian Corey Gonzalez-McCure. He's Chilean-born, but has lived in New Zealand since he was a child. In this interview, we talk about politics, racism, and resilience. Corey, great to meet you. Nice to have you in the studio.
Cheers, thank you for having me.
So your show at this comedy festival is called Up Late, and reading the blurb, it says something about there's a whole lot of shit gone down and you're going to rant. So what's been going on for you that's making you...
I don't rant that much. I just, when I wrote the blurb, I thought I was going to rant a lot more than what I actually do. So it's just talking about the state of the world. It's just very observational. A lot of stuff about COVID or how we've been out of work lately. A lot of stuff about politics. A lot of stuff about mental health. Not too ranty. I try not to get too ranty these days.
But there's a hell of a lot wrapped up in that. So COVID, first of all, I remember last year about to cover the Comedy Fest and it all got cancelled. So COVID year for you was?
To be honest, it was just because of the government subsidy. It was probably like the most successful year I've ever had financially. Like, I was like, what? I was like, yeah, I definitely make $3,000 a week usually. Yeah, cheers.
Yeah, thank God for Jacinda and
I know, yeah.
And the government,
yeah,
eh?
Great, yeah.
Because it is a hard gig, eh? I mean, unless you're super famous doing heaps of TV and whatever, and on a global scale, I think, the arts are hard, and comedy's hard in this country, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's hard even when we're not in a lockdown. So, yeah, it was... but in saying that, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
So you mentioned mental health, and I know that you have been involved in a lot of stuff around education and developing public awareness around this. What was the main reason that you wanted to do that?
I don't think it's important. And while, you know, I've got people in a room trying to listen to my jokes, I might as well make the most of having them there and leave 5 minutes that are a bit serious.
I watched your TED talk about your dad, and obviously that's a major issue in somebody's life. I don't want to dig back into that because you've done a lot of public speaking, but I wanted to talk about resilience, how you come back from that. So what do you think is the biggest thing, just to say, so your father killed himself. How do you come back from that? What was it that made you resilient?
Just family, friends, my daughter. So my daughter was born like a year and a half after that, and and sometimes I don't even know if I have fully come back from it, you know, like I don't know if I ever will, but it gets better. But I don't think I'll ever be fully like, oh, you know, I've gotten over this. Yeah, I don't know how anyone could get over something like that.
But those social connections are really important, and not just in that sense, but in all mental health. I think that's what's coming out now. Yeah.
I mean, talking is one of the best things you can do, you know, and it's not even that taboo anymore. I think, like you said, like the other comedians in their shows, everyone's talking about it. You shouldn't feel embarrassed to talk about your mental health to people.
Now, you're Chilean. You came over from Chile when you were quite small, yeah?
Yeah, six.
So, in essence, you grew up as a Kiwi.
Yeah.
But you had this Chilean heritage. Have you, if you compare the two cultures, there is in New Zealand the stoicism around. Do you notice that yourself when you compare the two?
Yeah, but I think it's even worse in Chile, I'd say, in
really?
South America. Yeah, it's just a very macho culture. I haven't lived in Chile for a long time, but just from my family there and from what I hear and what you see, I don't know how anyone would, it must be so hard for people suffering from mental health stuff over there.
But interestingly there, though, the changes in the constitution that people are pushing for, because it's still following a Pinochet constitution, and that do you keep track of that much at all?
As much as I can, just from hearing from family and stuff. But a lot of it is the media over there is run by the government, and they don't let anything out really. So you wouldn't find anything like that in the news, so you just hear it's just word of mouth from my family over there. But my family over there is quite biased to the left. So
biased to the left, and you're pretty political. I mean, looking at your tweets and whatever.
Yeah.
One of the big things that's been coming up is stuff around racism for you.
Yep.
So just give me a general view on that. What your thoughts about it in general, but also where things are happening in New Zealand.
I think we're definitely a lot more racist than we think we are, and anyone who says that New Zealand isn't racist obviously is a racist themselves, or has grown up in a I could like to say, in a white privilege, you know, white privilege situation, but we're so racist here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you think of specific examples, like even in politics? I know the stuff around Judith Collins.
Oh, just, yeah, Judith Collins stuff. I know, like, even just personally, people, you know, if I make a comment online, people will, like, Twitter's horrible for that. Like, they'll just call me, like, you dirty Venezuelan, or I'm not even from Venezuela, or you go back to Mexico. Just, it's all very, yeah, it's funny, but...
It's kind of bizarre, though, isn't it, really? Yeah. I mean, and there's an absurdity to it, why we should judge people based on what they look like, where they're from, the skin colour.
Yeah, well, it's huge. Like, the guy who, the Eagle Bear guy who mm-hmm. did that tweet, he's apparently, his sales have gone through the roof. Like,
yeah, now, has that been verified, though? Because, I mean, he said it.
He said that, yeah. Well, it wouldn't surprise me, like, racist people like drinking beer.
I was reading some of the comments about it and how, oh, yes, well, he's apologised. And it's like, well, there's something... But it's really worried to call an entire race of people a scourge is beyond just a mistake or a, well, I was just having a bad day. That's a pretty deep-seated...
Oh, that's, yeah. He's always been thinking that, and he's like, he blew up and he did it.
So when you've tweeted on that, what kind of reactions have you had?
Mostly, yeah, it's all people agreeing with me. It's for some reason, yeah, I went through a stage where I was doing tweets like that, and a lot of people were kind of, I was getting involved in a lot of like Twitter wars, but I can't remember the last time I got into like a really nasty like back and forth thing. Most people just agree with it, like, because that's just a fact that he's racist. It's not like you can go, oh no, he's, you know, he's just coming from, he's got a different perspective of things. He's literally just, it's there in writing, he's racist. Mm-hmm.
But the company, so he's resigned, and apparently, supposedly his soon-to-be ex-wife, she's wants a divorce. So he's put all his shares in her.
Yeah.
The company's kind of walking it back, almost as though, well, it wasn't really racist.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it clearly is.
Yeah.
You don't get more obvious than that in the statements that he's made.
Oh, every apology they do, it just gets worse and worse. Next one's just going to be like, no, he never said that. He's not, like, they're just going to deny that he even said it.
Yeah, but disturbing that people will suddenly, I guess it's advertising, isn't it? If people are buying the product because of that.
Yeah.
Now you, when did you first get into comedy? When was that?
In 2003.
Yeah. About 18 years.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah. Because you began at an early age playing soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you had an injury.
Yep.
And so that kind of quashed that.
Yeah.
So you're in New Zealand. What was it that kind of drew you into that?
To comedy?
Yeah.
I was at uni and I had some friends that were, James Nkise, one of my good friends, he was doing comedy, and we just went along to watch him once, and a few of the people that were on were just really bad, and I thought, fuck, I could do that. So
what is it, how would you describe it? What is the thing that you try to do? I mean, is it that you want to be political? Is it that you want to make people laugh? A combination of...
Yeah, no, I've never wanted to be political. Even now, I don't really want to be like a political comedian. I just want to make people laugh. And sometimes, like, kind of, I don't know, kind of like making people feel uncomfortable sometimes as well, or out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we don't know about you that you would be willing to share? Just something? It could be innocuous. It could be...
I don't know. I think everything that I do and say, everything, I'm pretty upfront about anything. Yeah, anything that people don't know is probably really boring.
yeah. Because I was going to say, the stuff I've read about you, some of the videos I've seen, you're pretty open about your life.
Yeah.
And are you, because your daughter now must be, what, about six?
She's six in July.
Yeah, and you're still sharing custody with your ex-partner?
Or? Yeah, yeah. So Anna, her mum, like, we're still, like, best friends, so I don't know, I think people know that anyway, so.
Yeah, and so what kind of things are important for you in raising your daughter? What kind of?
That she's, basically, that she's kind, that she's, that she knows where she came from, that she, has good manners, and just that she knows that she's loved by so many people.
And I guess all of those things you've just listed, I guess if every single person was raised and subscribed to those values, then we'd probably not have the racism and the violence wars.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I'm looking forward to seeing your show. It's a late night for me. 10
p.m. Oh, really? Oh, it's a late night for me. That's why I called it up late. It's the only reason it's called up late is because they put me on in the latest time slot.
So all the best, and I'll see you in a few
days. Cheers, Andrew. Appreciate it.
That was Corey Gonzalez-McCure talking about his comedy career and his life. Now, just a reminder, you can find all sorts of other interviews, information, and plenty of my own opinion on my website, andrewwhiteside.com. While there, you can sign up for my frequent newsletters. Believe me, they're chock full of lots of interesting stuff. I am Andrew Whiteside. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you soon.